Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. If you're a member of council, you're probably getting lots of calls and emails right now from people in your community with questions about the COVID-19 outbreak, the impact on municipal services, how it will affect them and their families and businesses. As a councillor, what should you say? As an administrator or communications professional, what do you advise council members to say? To help us answer those questions, our guest today is a well-known communications pro and media trainer. Joining us in the MW podcast studio is Brian Lambie from Red Brick Communications. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, how you doing? Happy to be here.
So lots of councils are fielding those exact kinds of questions right now. Is that right?
I think a lot of councils are fielding that. I think just generally there's a lot of people that are nervous. They're under stress. They're getting a lot of demands. They're trying to manage them, you know, in discussions with people and multiple social media platforms and emails and formal meetings. And so there's really is just a lot of pressure and intense scrutiny at a time like this, and people are under stress. So it's a difficult time.
So your team has just worked with the Association of Municipalities of Ontario to prepare a new document entitled Council's Role in Communicating COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, what we did was we packaged some, you know, fairly standard instructions that you would use in a dealing with a difficult issue or a crisis situation, and we put it together in a municipal context for councils. Now, we are hearing that public health units are using it, and many other folks are latching onto it, so that's helpful. We've touched a nerve. That's good. We want to be of service at a time like this, and this seems to be doing the job. I'm happy to kind of walk through some of that advice if you want at a high level. I don't know what's helpful to you, but it's, you know, most of this stuff is straightforward in some ways, but you need to kind of take a step back and look at it from a distance to recognize that these are the things people should be doing often.
Well, I think, as you said, it's not just great advice for municipal councils and not simply for Ontario. It's great information for anybody who's kind of in that contact position with the public, and we've never been in a situation like this before, any of us. It's hard to know what exactly is the right thing to say when you're put on the spot, and this piece is really, it's a good piece, really effective at pulling that into sharper focus so that you're prepared with the right things to say, helpful things to say, when you're presented with the questions.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing really is top of mind for me right now is a lot of municipalities with the issues. We are hearing from a lot of municipal communicators in terms of what challenges they're facing. And one of them is just being overwhelmed. And I'm not surprised to hear that. It's not uncommon for a crisis communications plan for a municipality to say that, you know, if there's a crisis, Betty will handle communication. But Betty has to monitor probably three different social media accounts, engage in those accounts, provide strategic advice, organize media relations, provide guidance to senior managers. Betty's got to be in about five different places at once. So realistically, that isn't going to work. So you need about three to five people, and then you need to multiply that by usually two to three shifts. We're going to be in this for weeks, if not months. So that's got to be spelled out. So I'm not surprised that people are feeling overwhelmed. And the solution to that is to deputize other people into communication roles. But, you know, that being said, it means that, you know, somebody who may be a local librarian is now, they're a local librarian, they're good on Facebook. So we're going to deputize them to monitor our Facebook feed for our city or our town. They can do that with some basic advice. And the piece that we put out is designed to give basic advice to those kinds of people. And I think there's going to be thousands of them in Ontario. They're talking about pulling doctors out of retirement, nurses out of retirement. They're talking about training volunteers to do tasks that they wouldn't normally do. And I think, well, we will have a period where people are under stress and they're looking for calm, steady, reassuring, quality communication. In a lot of cases, it's going to come from people who are not frontline communicators. It's not their normal role.
So this is, again, an unprecedented situation. And as you said, our emergency plans are often written, and our protocols are normally, you know, we have a single spokesperson for the municipality, and it's going to be the mayor and, or, you know, the city manager or the expert. In this situation, there really isn't a single person that can shoulder all of that responsibility to get us to the other side of the crisis.
I hear this a lot, that there needs to be a single spokesperson, and I just don't think it's realistic for a council. You know, no disrespect to elected officials. They do a difficult job. I don't think people realize often that, you know, the municipal councillor that's handling COVID-19 for their local community, if they're in a small rural area, that person could be getting paid $10,000 a year to do this job right now. That's an annual salary for some people. And I think that's forgotten, right? So what's going to happen when those people are trying to manage the situation? You should have one spokesperson, but the devil finds work for idle hands. And it is unlikely that the rest of council is going to sit back and do nothing at a time like this.
Yes.
So, and they have really effective networks that they can use for communication. So they should be, municipalities should be communicating in a way where there's clear messages that are coming out, but council members are amplifying those messages and rippling those messages through the community on their own social networks. It may be as simple as a retweet. It may be slight commentary with it. Part of what they should be doing is sharing that information and connecting the public to reliable sources of information. So there's a very significant role here for everyone on council.
So let's take a look at some of the pieces that are in this guidance document. And the big one is about staying focused on the problem. So do you want to maybe unpack that a little bit for us?
Yeah, I think one of the stressful things I'm hearing from a lot of staff right now is there are some municipalities where council have made a decision about what they're going to do with things like deferring taxes. And then there's other municipalities where that decision hasn't been made and they're pondering it, they're thinking about it. What happens in the meantime is those municipalities that where a decision has been made, staff are able to focus on the two main priorities, which is keeping people health and safety, and keeping people healthy and safe, and getting people through the immediate economic impact and also facilitating an economic recovery. So those are the two big things, the economic piece and the health and safety piece. Those municipalities that are getting tons flooded with questions about tax bills are having a hard time getting their messages out about health and safety and the economic impact and recovery. And in those places where a decision's been made, staff are able to focus their time. They're very, very stressed, the pressure they're under. They don't have tons of it, but they're better able to focus on those two core areas, which is, you know, getting messages out as simple as hand washing and social distancing. That's what people should be talking about. So you do need to look for a way to recognize that all the conversations that are coming in are really variants of those two pieces, the health and safety component and the economic component. And the better that councils can keep an eye on how the specific conversation they're having now relates to those two major core conversations, the better off they're going to be. So reading between the lines there, if I'm a council, I think you should make a decision on the tax piece so that the people who are taking your phone, like the person who's managing Facebook, is not dealing with a massive thread of messy Facebook posts around affordability of taxes right now.
Yeah, and so in effect, it kind of resolves that issue for people so that we can kind of get everybody on the same page, paying attention to what's really important right now.
Yeah, And we're also at a stage where people start to feel beleaguered and tired, and finger pointing starts, and people get frustrated, and I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing it. You know, often we think about it as an organization is getting fed up with the attacks that they get on social media or something like that. But here we have a thing where every service we know of is affected. Everything's affected. And I think it's just a matter where, you know, people are getting tired. So I'm seeing things on social media about emails that have been leaked out and are circulating on social media and that sort of thing. You know, whenever we have that stuff happening, I think people who are busy and tired need to take a step back and just, again, stay focused on what really matters. And squabbling and bickering is a terrible place to be. And but we are starting to see it because people are starting to get tired. And I think people are scared too, right? That one of the other things we've pointed out in this document is that bad behavior is usually motivated by fear. So right now you should be listening. When you see people behaving badly, you want to think about what is really behind that behavior. How could I help that person? And what can I do that's kind of inspiring at a time like this rather than squabbling?
Now we're going to take a quick break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Brian Lambie. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports and memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into our conversation with Brian Lambie. And here in Ontario, of course, the Premier has just announced that all non-essential businesses and services are going to be shut down for at least 2 weeks. So we can, I would say, expect a little bit of an escalation as that fear and uncertainty heightens about how long are we in this for, and it will be really helpful if people in leadership can be kind of helping to address those issues and put the focus back where it kind of belongs.
Yeah, I think realistically, the really tough decisions probably haven't happened yet. When you look at what places like we seem to be getting prepared for the spike that could come to a hospital. And when a spike comes to the hospital, that's when decision makers are really going to be making the very, really difficult decisions. So I think it's a time for people to be patient. I think the other thing that's really remarkable is how well our different levels of government and political leaders are working together right now. Like when you have Doug Ford in Ontario coming out and praising the federal government, that is not normal behavior, but he's doing it sincerely. He also thanked the media for what they're doing. The other day he mentioned what great articles there are in the Toronto Star. These are not normal times, and people are rising to the occasion. And when you look south of the border, you know, that I don't think that's happening nearly to the same extent. And I think it'll cost lives, quite frankly, because it's not happening there to as great an extent. But we are a point, a really important point now, where I think all of that sense of teamwork among different elected officials and orders of government are being tested. And at a time when we're asking people to be patient and calm and caring for their neighbors, it's really important that elected officials exhibit that behavior, and because their actions will speak louder than their words. So, you know, that's another really important communications piece that we should be seeing from elected officials is good behavior, decency, compassion. They need to be caring towards other elected officials, other orders of government, and it's going to get more difficult before it gets easier. And they also have to be very good to their own staff right now, because while they may be proud of their own staff are, they're only human beings, and they're going to be, you know, it's a difficult time for them.
Yes, and those folks for sure are doing a big job right now, you know, where most people are being sent home to work. Often they're still there carrying on essential services in our community. So it's incredible, really, the way municipalities right across the country have mobilized very quickly to put in place the things that need to be done. And again, as you said, working with their cohorts at the federal and provincial level to make good choices for their communities. So,
yep. Part of that decency, one of the other things we've got in there is the importance of plain language right now. It's very easy to use language that's scary for people. And when people are angry with you, they're going to be using a lot of negative language. People should get in the habit of using positive language. And you can do that without sounding like Mary Poppins. You know, it's you're just going to come across as being diplomatic, quite frankly. And, you know, that's a helpful thing. And the other thing we want along the same lines is very, very simple, plain language. Normally we would say that we want messages that should be, you know, allow themselves to ripple through a Tim Hortons lineup very successfully. Well, no one's in a Tim Hortons lineup right now, but now it is, family conversations over the phone and Facebook discussions and those types of interactions, that people are having. If you're message is getting held up in approvals because the lawyers want to add some precision to it. They do that at the expense of speed and effectiveness. So this is not a time for that. This is a time to be quick, simple language, and to be directing people to credible sources of information. And again, municipal councillors are in a fantastic position to use their networks to do that.
Yes. And one of the points that's made in the piece from AMO that really, you know, underscores that. I thought, you know, if you're struggling to create infographics or laboring over precise wording, you are wasting precious time here. And it really is a case of perfection is the enemy of the good.
Absolutely. And that's not to say you don't do infographics, but there are places that have staff ready to take on infographics, and there's other places that just do not have that capacity. And I'm often reminded, and, you know, we should put a star on their fridge. I don't know their names, but I had the great opportunity to meet the two young, fairly rookie communicators who were on the first wave of communication when Fort McMurray caught fire. And these two buddies who were friends from university, two young guys, ran around and did what they needed to do to evacuate their city using almost entirely Twitter when all around them was on fire. They got everybody out safely using very, very simple tools. And that's what you got to do right now. You've got to use the tools you know. You've got to use them quickly. And if you're worried because, you know, your local regional municipality has this fantastic infographic, well, don't, you know, kill yourself trying to replicate that. Steal it. Ask for permission to use it. Right? retweet it. It's to be shared, but then get your own information out in the way that works for you.
Absolutely. And on the topic of tweeting, of stealing, you know, good resources, good tools. I think municipalities, you know, have a tremendous spirit, always have, of collaboration and so on. So there's lots of good stuff out there that you can borrow for your own community. Municipal World is gathering a collection of that, a document collection that anyone can access on our website, including the AMO document and a great social media tool from Redbrick. So thank you for that. But those kinds of things can help take you to the next level. If you haven't had media training or you haven't developed those tools on your own, there's a roadmap for some of it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff is not rocket science if you step back and take a look at it. One of the other pieces in there that we have is you know, think about how you want to be remembered when this is a faint memory in people's minds.
Yes.
And, you know, if I think back to those two young guys that were helping to get people out of Fort McMurray safely, they're probably remembered as being hardworking, caring, responsive, open and honest, decent, helpful. You know, that's how you want to be remembered at a time like this. And it pays to take those words and write them down and put them beside your phone right now. And quite frankly, those words that you, that you know, the other ones we would add right now are, you know, keeping people safe, keeping people healthy, looking after businesses and preparing for an economic recovery. Putting just the words there, it's probably about 15 words. You put those together and you have the skeleton of the messaging that you should be using right now.
Yes.
And the more you can stay focused on that's the perception you're looking for someday, the more likely you'll make say the right things and provide the right operational decisions right now.
So kind of keep those, you know, as we all like to do for our organizations, keep those value statements close at hand, visible, so that you're reminded what you're there for, what your job is to do, and as you said, how you want to be remembered when this is over. This will be over at some point, and what we do now matters a great deal.
I'm from Hazel McCallion country, and nobody in Mississauga ever forgot Hazel McCallion's response to the 1979 train derailment. And it really cemented her career. It wasn't the only thing, of course. But, you know, get this right, people remember it. Get it wrong, people remember that too. So,
yes.
And it's not really rocket science. It's a question of being decent and caring and helpful.
So around the use of positive language, you just referred to that too. That's also covered in the document. There's a great example in there, you know, because we know people are afraid, and it can be tempting to respond to that. There's a quote in here, you know, instead of, I know you're scared, you're out of work, and you're worried about how to pay rent, there's a better way to have those conversations.
Yeah, so instead of, I know you're scared, you're out of work, and you're worried about how to pay the rent, you're going to say, hey, stability is good right now. We want to keep you where we can, or we want to keep you, we want to help you if we can. Home is a good place for you right now, and we're working on making sure that you can stay at home and that it's easy for you, right? So anything that can be said negatively can be said positively if you think about it, and it can be said in plain language if you think about it. It does require a little more effort, but it pays off at a time like this. And particularly when you look at the social media language is so negative. I think this is another piece that is worth touching on. It's not really in the document, but the one question we get more than anything else is, what do we do with trolls on Facebook and social media and that sort of thing? And, you know, in those moments, there's a couple of principles you follow. One is that it's kind of like surfing on a wave. If you don't read the waves correctly, the ocean will kill you. Right. But if you time it correctly and you know the rhythm of those waves, you can get on a surfboard and do magical things. And in those moments, what you want to do is let some of that really negative angst happen. If you go in too early, you'll be a pinata, it'll get beaten up. But if you just sit back, let it happen a little bit, the worst people, like the worst instincts of people will come out. And then when the time is right, right at the crest of that wave, you get on your board and you provide crisp, positive language, the best quality information available, not a long post, at the right time. And the rest of the community says, thank goodness this reasonable person is working for us right now. And it tends to cauterize the wounds of those conversations. It tends to stop them. And it tends to allow decent behavior and quality information to win the day. So there are things that we can do, and that simple positive language delivered at the right time is absolutely one of those things that all counselors should be looking to do right now. If you, the other piece, if you listen carefully to what I'm saying there, is the need to read the waves and listen very carefully. So this is a time when counselors really should be listening.
It's time to listen, and if you have to respond, respond thoughtfully. And if ever there was a time for leadership, I would say this is it.
Yeah, if you're mired in a Facebook debate right now, then you are absolutely missing the point. Like, this is not the time.
And again,
and there will be no shortages of people that will cast mud at you right now. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, get ready for it. If you're a public sector communicator, there are going to be people coming out of the woodwork and being nasty towards you. But again, a lot of the time that is motivated by fear. And you should be thinking of what is actually on that person's mind. Is there something I can do for this person that's helpful? And if there isn't, you should just move on. You mentioned a resource that you have from us. I'm assuming it's our social media response decision tree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, there's a pretty logical thought process that you can walk through to, should I spend time with this person or should I let this go and move on to somebody I can help?
Yes.
And that's what that document's for as well.
It's a really helpful tool. And, you know, at this time, again, just to reiterate, you know, the first point in this communication document, stay focused on the main problem. And there's two of them. The first is we need to keep everybody safe and healthy. And the second is managing the economic challenges. So we want to get to the other side of this with everybody safe and healthy, and move on to address what will be inevitable challenges on the economic side.
Yep. So you mentioned as well about people getting together. I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that we are doing that. We have a kind of network of municipal communicators that we have been working with in Ontario for some time. And we engage them at key times. We put feelers out to see if people needed a moment to work together right now, and they do. I'm finding particularly the smaller municipalities are looking for assistance, so we're going to try to help them out. Some of the larger municipalities are volunteering of their time and their expertise to do that as well. So we're having a one-hour conference call tomorrow that AMO is helping us coordinate. We do have people from outside of Ontario and from outside the municipal sector that are getting on that call, and everybody's welcome to. So if that's something that they're interested in, they could, probably the best way is to contact me directly, which that information is available on our website at redbrick.ca. AMO is also sending that information out to all municipal governments. But again, you know, it's really just a matter of, we're facilitating the call, but really it's an opportunity for municipal communicators to say, this is my biggest challenge. And then we're going to open it up to everybody on the call to say, okay, who's got the best solution? And then we move on to the next challenge and the next challenge and the next challenge. So we're looking for strategies, tools, tips, apps, everything that's working well for people. And I think it'll be particularly helpful to particularly those smaller people that have very small communications teams, or, you know, their clerk slash communications, HR slash communications, which is often the case.
Okay. So, well, if there are tools and documents and helpful resources that come out of that, I hope you'll pass those along, and we will be happy to share those out as well.
Yeah, I think Municipal World's doing a fantastic service with these podcasts. I mean, the one you did the other day on the meeting rules as well, it's very timely. And that example we had about the taxation question, that can't get resolved till councils have a meeting. Now they can have a meeting without having to be there in person. And, you know, your timely podcast on how to do that was really helpful.
Well, thank you. And if there's more to talk about, and I'm sure there will be, we'd love to have you back to chat with us again. Thank you so much,
Absolutely.
Brian Lambie. Pleasure.
Great. Thanks for giving the opportunity.
I want to thank Brian Lambie from Red Brick Communications for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. To hear more from Brian, you can follow him on Twitter, @BrianLambie. I hope you'll join us for upcoming episodes. We'll continue to share important information and discuss the municipal response to COVID-19. Find MW Shares on Apple and Google Podcasts or visit us on our website, municipalworld.com. Until next time, please stay safe, stay healthy.